boy is taking a little time. Walked out in front of the plate, flipped the ball back to Terry. There's a high fly ball, hit the left field. First going back, now he is moving in, shading his eyes in the sun, and he makes the catch. Jimmy Davenport, down on a high fly ball to Tommy Trash in left field. That's one of those, George, you talk about the wind wasn't blowing to be out of here. Moose Donald was talking about one of it yesterday, and Davenport hit that ball well, but right into that wind, and forget about it. That's a pump spot that went out of here today. I tell you, Joe, this Ralph Terry knows what he's doing out there. He's taking advantage of this wind. Getting that fastball up around their letters, letting them get it up in the air. So it's going to be tough to hit one out of here today. Jose Pagan, the batter. He bounced the boy at third base his first time at bat. Jose, a right-handed batter. 412 batting average starting the series. There's a high fly ball down the third baseline. This is curving over near the seats. Boyer's chasing it, but it's going back in the crowd. You always look for those escape valves as far as outfield is concerned. For example, in the stadium, it's right center and left center. In the polo grounds, dead center field, make them hit that way. Here in this ball for us, with this wind blowing it here, the way it is today, it would be from the left field foul line all the way over to right center field. Because it is a tough one blowing in. You can get that ball up and in to the right-hand hitter. Let him hit it that way. Ralph Terry looking in.
Pagan waiting. Here's the pitch.
He swings and pops it up outside of third. Boyer is chasing it. The wind is bringing it over near the seats. He's there and makes the catch. Boy, Elston Howard is right there with him, too.
Ellie has picked up some pointers,
Joe, in this play. He goes all the way down
as he knows the wind is
bringing it back to home plate. Can't wait to see where that ball's going to land. You better take off. Good man is sitting for this ball park. Rupert Dead of the Braves had a good one. He says that this is the only ball park where you can sit in a dugout and read the morning paper as it blows by. Well, there's two down, and the batter will be Jack Sanford, the pitcher. Jack flied to Mantle his first time at bat. He swings and lines it in the right field. Mantle chasing it. He's trying to get it. Sanford's going to hold on with a single. Jack Sanford picked on the first pitch, and he lined it in the center field. A solid hit. And that's the first giant base runner in this ballgame. Ralph Terry had retired 17 men in a row. Until the pitcher, Jack Sanford, broke the spell with a line single in the center field. And on a dry day, that ball might have slipped by Mantle all the way. So the Giants have a runner at first base with two outs, and the batter will be Philippe Alou. Philippe has fouled to first and flied to left in two steps. Takes a fastball down low. One ball and no strike. Runner at first with two outs. We're in the bottom of the sixth. The Yankees lead 1-0. Terry has just given up his first hit, and the Giants have their first base run in the game. The pitch to Alou. A bouncing ball down the third baseline. Boyer will have to hurry. The throw, he got him. A slow bounder to third. Boyer slips it over to Scowen. No runs on one hit. There were no errors. One man left. And the score at the end of sixth. The Yankees won and the Giants nothing.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this. And now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
Going to the seventh inning, the Yankees in front of the Giants, 1-0. It'll be Elston Howard to lead off for New York. He'll be followed by Bill Sharon and then Fleet Boyer. Ellie's been to the plate twice. He bounced to the third baseman in the second inning and popped to the shortstop in the fourth inning. The only scoring in this ball game coming in the fifth inning. The Yankees loaded the bases with no one out on two singles and a walk, and Kubek bounced into a double play.
the run coming across. One run, three hits, and no errors for New York. No runs on one hit, and no errors for the Giants. Sanford taking a little time. Jack was a base runner in the sixth inning. He's a little slow getting back to the mound. Here's the pitch. Ball, it's down low. One ball and no strike. Boy, you talk about the pressure on the ball game in the seventh game of the series. How about the umpires, especially the fellow behind the plate, Stan Landis? He's got a lot of important calls to make today. Here's a strike. That ball coming in around the knees.
Like the old saying, George, when they do the great job, you hardly even know they're out there. We hardly recognize them because of the outstanding job that all of them have done.
Here's a 1-1 pitch. A high pop fly down the right field line. This is curving back into the crowd. Philippe Alou chasing it. He had no chance to get it. One ball, two strikes. Howard, Scowron, and Boyer will be the Yankee batters here in the seventh inning. They lead the Giants 1-0. Sanford taking a look in to Tom Howard. Kelly choking the bat a little bit with two strikes. Here's the pitch. Ball, it's inside. That ball coming in high and tight. A ball two and a strike two count. Giants playing deep and around to the left for Elson Howard. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Outside. He tried to get the corner with a slider. 3-2 to Ellie. Moose Scowron is waiting in the on-deck circle. Yankees batting in the seventh inning. They lead 1-0. No one out, no one on. A full count to the catcher, Howard. Here's the pitch. He swings and bounces it foul down the third baseline. Still 3-2. Sanford with a new baseball, rubbing it up, taking a little time. Jack has been a slow and deliberate pitcher here today in this all-important ball game. Here's the pitch. A ground foul right at the plate. Ball bounced up, hit Howard, and Howard grabbed it on the first hop. Still 3-2.
Howard talking to himself as he walked away from home plate. It looked like he had his pitch and just didn't hit it. One of the real joys of catching is listening to the conversation these hitters when they talk to themselves. Hank Fowler, who is with this giant organization, one of the best. He'd talk and he'd answer himself and he'd always get on himself pretty good.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss. And stuck it out. Jack Sanford coming in with a curveball on the 3-2 pitch. And Elston Howard strikes out.
That's one away.
And the batter will be Bill Scowron. Well, Moose has had one hit in two trips today. Bounced to the shortstop in the second inning, singled in the fifth. Sanford ready. Here's the pitch. Here's a high fly ball hit into deep center field. Mays going back. Now he's going to have to come in the left center. And McCovey is there, finally to make the play. Willie Mays chased that one all over the outfield. And finally, Willie McCovey in left center made the play.
George, I've seen some outfield plays during the course of this year where at times you think you're watching an all keystone top movie. One fellow will be ready to make the play and zing, somebody will cut in front and make it. And there you saw Willie ready to make it, and McCovey made it easily.
Wind is a big factor here. McCovey acts like he had it all the way, and Mays had been chasing it all over the outfield. Well, he's two down, and the batter will be Cleet Boyer. Cleet 1-for-2 in this game. Takes a strike around the letters. Boyer hit the ball hard both times. He lined to Alou in right field in the third inning. In the fifth inning, he lined a long single in the left center. On a dry day, it would have been an extra base hit and would have driven in a run. Here's a ground ball hit up the middle. Pagan can't get it. It goes into center field. Boyer getting his second hit. A ground ball through the middle to center field. Now, that's a big play for the Yankees, Joe. Get that pitcher up and out of there. They're bringing that pitcher to the plate here instead of making him a leadoff man in the eighth inning. Well, we're waiting right now for Terry to come on.
That's why an ace spot is always such a tough one, George. You don't get that good ball to hit if you have a fellow in scoring position. You have to widen the strike zone and try to drive it in. In a spot like this, you got to go for the unexpected pitch to get that base hit and hope you get your pitcher up there and not make a leadoff man out of him.
Nice round of applause for Terry as he comes on. Boy, he's been quite a pitcher here today. He has allowed one hit, and that's been the only base runner for the Giants. Boyer at first base with two outs. The pitch to Terry.
A pass. One ball, no strike.
Ralph struck out in the third inning.
And in the fifth inning, he drew a walk.
Terry told me before the ball game today he had one big ambition. That's to get a hit in the series. Here's the pitch. A ground ball hit in the left field. There's his base hit just out of the reach of Davenport. And Ralph Perry comes through with a ground single to left. So the Yankees, after the first two batters have been retired here in the seventh inning, are threatening. They have runners at first and second. Two outs, and the batter will be Tony Kubek. A tip number five for New York. Kubek had one hit in three trips today. By the center field in the first inning. Singled in the third. Get into a double play in the fifth.
Bullpen for the Giants jumps up again. The left-hander is Billy O'Dell and the right-hander Don Larson.
Two on, two out. Fans are taking a little time as he looks in. Here's the pitch to Kubek.
Ball, it's up high. One ball and no strike. Sanford has been quite a pitcher here today. I'd say the only difference in this performance today and the other two that he's given in this World Series, he's been high today. He has not been able to get the ball down around the knees
as he would like to do.
Here's a 1-0 pitch.
Here's a liner down the left field line. McCovey is chasing it. It's curving foul back into the crowd. Boy, Willie is playing him right over there on the line. One ball, one strike. Kubek will hit a lot of balls in the left field. I'll tell you another thing right here, Joe. It's going to be tough for Boyer to score on a base hit to the outfield unless he pulls it into right. Now, Mays and McCovey are both playing in close. Manfred gets that. Here's the 1-1 pitch. There's a high fly ball hit in the left center field. McCovey and Mays are both there. McCovey is calling for it. He's got it to side to side. No runs on two hits, no errors, two men left, and the score at the end of the first half of the seventh inning.
Game 7 of the World Series of 1962 continues after this.
Now listen, but listen quick, because it comes and goes just like that. The Pennzoil Chaparral, driven by national champion Johnny Rutherford. Here it comes again, all bright and brilliant in its traditional Pennzoil yellow color. That's a $40,000 engine that just roared by, turning out 9,500 torturous RPM. Does it mile after mile after hard-running mile, race after race after race. The Pennzoil Chaparral. It has Pennzoil written on it and Pennzoil in it. Protection for a winner. Pennzoil Motor Oil. Protection for cars like the Chaparral and cars like yours. Ask for it.
America has got the Pennzoil. America looks to drive.
You're listening to a classic World Series from the archives of NBC Radio Sports. Game 7 of the World Series of 1962.
Now we're going to the bottom of the seventh inning. The Giants trailing the Yankees by a score of 1-0. It'll be Chuck Keller to lead off to San Francisco. He'll be followed by Willie Mays and then Willie McCovey. With crowd standing here for the seventh inning stretch, and they are singing with a band as they are playing in deep center field. Probably the Giant fight song. Although it's hard for us to pick it up here in the radio booth. Chuck Keller, the batter, he's 0-2 in the game. Here's the pitch. He bunts, it's up in the air, Terry spears it. A good play by Terry. Had the ball gotten over his head, more than likely Hiller would have been on.
But Terry, moving back of the mound, reached up and speared the pop fly. So there's one away, and the batter is Willie Mays. Willie's off at two. He flied to left and flied to center in two steps. Yankees deep and around to the left for Willie Mays. Terry delivers a curveball. He lines it down the left field line. Trace racing into the corner. He's got it, a one-handed catch by Trace. He caught the ball, then went out of our sight, back into the corner, but he hung on to it in the webbing of his glove. Willie Mays making a bid for an extra base hit into the corner in left field is robbed on a fine play by Tommy Trace. Two down, and the batter will be Willie McCovey. Boy, it's amazing how this kid, Tom Trace, has made the move from the infield to the outfield, and he has not missed a step. He has taken it in stride. Which is one of the plays of this series right there. Willie McCovey, the batter. Willie has fouled to the catcher and flied to left in two steps. Here's the pitch. There's a long foul ball down the right field line. This one will go all the way out of the park. A one strike count for Willie. Bill Stafford, a right-hander, and Bud Daly, a left-hander, throwing in the bullpen. Manager Ralph out wants to keep them ready. Terry gets ready. A pitch to McCovey. Ball down low. He kept his swing on a slow curve. One ball, one strike. The Giants are batting in the seventh inning. There's two outs with no one on. The Yankees lead 1-0. Here's the 1-1 pitch. He swings and hits a drive into deep center. Now he's chasing him. Deep center. He can't get it. All the way to the fence. Here's McCovey going in the second. He's going to try for third. Has just slammed one 410 feet away over Mickey Mantle's head into deep center field, and he has raced into third base with a stand-up triple. In fact, he made a big turn at third base as if he might come on in, but he was very wisely held up by Whitey Lockman. So the Giants have a tying run at third base with two outs, and the batter will be Orlando Cepeda. Elston Howard taking a little time right now as he goes out to the mound for a short conference with his pitcher. The ball hit by McCovey was on a line. It never did get very high. The wind had no chance to push it back. A runner at third with two outs. Terry ready. Here's the pitch. Cepeda takes the fastball up high. One ball and no strike. Orlando struck out in the second, popped to Bobby Richardson in the fifth inning. Terry taking a little time, looks in, he's up the sign. Here's the 1-0 pitch. He swings and hits a high foul that'll be out of play down the right field line. One ball, one strike. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing. We're in the seventh inning. Willie McCovey is at third base with two outs. It's only the second hit given up by Ralph Perry. Jack Stanford, the pitcher, got the other hit. Boy, this crowd has come alive, as you can hear. They are roaring, wanting Cepeda to come through. Here's the 1-1 pitch. A swing and a miss on a bad curveball. He foul tipped it, says Stan Lambert, right into the mitt. Terry delivering a low outside curve. That's the play to the bite. One ball, two strikes. Yankees straight away. Everybody back on the infield. Here's a 1-2 pitch. Foul ball. This will be out of play. Terry trying to get the fastball by him. Evidently figuring that Cepeda
would be looking for a serve, but Orlando had a ripple at it. Still one ball, two strikes. Once again, Howard going out to the mound for a conference with Terry. Ellie's going to take a little time right now as he stands on the mound talking to Ralph Terry. Action in the Yankee bullpen. Bill Stafford, a right-hander, and Bud Daly, a left-hander, a throwing. Boy, this is it. There's no saving anybody for tomorrow or next week. This is the seventh ball game of the 62 World Series. Terry gets ready. Here's the 1-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Cepeda going for a high fastball, strikes out. No runs on one hit. There were no errors. One man left. And the score at the end of seven. The Yankees won. The Giants nothing.
Back with more action from this classic World Series game of 1962 after this. NBC Radio is presenting a rebroadcast of Game 7 of the 1962 World Series, the New York Yankees versus the San Francisco Giants.
Well, at the end of 7, the Yankees have one run on 5 hits, and they have no errors. The Giants have no run on 2 hits, and they have no errors. As Stanford gets ready to go here in the 8th inning, the Giant bullpen comes alive again. Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, and Stu Miller, a right-hander, are throwing. They have been throwing along with Don Larson throughout the afternoon. Well, Bobby Richardson will lead it off. Bobby has walked twice and fouled to the first baseman. So officially, he's 0-for-1 in this game. Stanford gets ready. Here's the pitch to Bobby. He swings and hits a high hopper to the shortstop. Pagan has it to throw to first. He is safe at first base. The throw was up high. It got away from Cepeda. And Bobby Richardson is safe at first. It'll be an error. Charged against the shortstop. Well, the Yankees have a runner at first base. There's no one out, and the batter will be Tommy Trace. Stanford taking a little time as he goes over to talk to his third baseman, Davenport, probably discussing the bunt situation that very definitely is in order here. The Yankees lead by one. We're in the 8th inning. Bobby Richardson at first base with no one out. And Whitey Ford is throwing in the bullpen for the Yankees. How about that? Whitey was a starting pitcher in yesterday's ball game. He's warming up today. Stanford gets set. Here's the pitch to Trace. Strike. He got the fastball over the outside corner. Tommy squared around. He was ready to bunt. Pulled the bat back, and Stan Landis went up to the right hand. Well, with Mantle and Maris coming up, manager Ralph Houck wants to move Bobby Richardson down into scoring position. Stanford ready. Here's the pitch. Outside. Trace was ready to bunt. One ball, one strike. Davenport is playing in close to third. Jimmy's about 5 steps in front of the bag and moves in as Stanford delivers. Cepeda holding against the runner, and he'll move in with the pitch. Tommy Trace, batting left-handed, waiting on Stanford. Here's a 1-1 pitch. He bunts, it is foul. This one is rolling behind the plate. One ball, two strikes. Tommy is trying to get the bunt down the first baseline as Davenport is racing in from third. It would almost be suicide to bunt the ball to him. Fouls it back. One ball and two strikes. Stanford working slowly here in the 8th inning. Yankees with a 1-run lead have a runner at first base, no one out. Here's the pitch. Outside. Trace checked his swing just in time on a fastball that was off the corner. That'll even the count at 2-2. Mickey Mantle is waiting in the on-deck circle. Stanford checks his runner. The pitch. Outside again. Once again, Jack trying to thread the needle on the outside corner is missed. So it's 3-2 to Trey. Well, we'll watch the runner. He might be moving on his 3-2 pitch. Sanford has picked a runner off first base today, so Bobby Richardson, of course, is going to be mighty careful getting a lead. Sanford gets set. That's a quick throw to first. Bobby back in town. The full count to Tommy Trey. A runner at first base, no one out. Here's the pitch. There goes the runner. Here's a liner. One hop to the shortstop. It gets away from him. Here's a throw to first. He's safe at first base. Trey hit that one like a bullet. A low liner that hit right in front of Pagan. Bounced out of his glove over towards second base. He picked it up, made the throw to first, but it was not in time to get Trey. It'll be an infield single for Tommy. Base hit number 6 for the Yankees puts runners at first and second with no one out. And the batter will be Mickey Mantle. Well, there's the value of moving on the 3-2 pitch. Had Richardson not been moving, he would have been an easy out at second base. But Pagan, realizing he had no chance to get Bobby, hurried his throw to first base, but it was too late to get Trey. So two on, no one out, and Mickey Mantle the batter. Mickey's 0 for 2 in this game. He walked his last time. Sanford gets that. Here's a pitch to Mantle. Ball in tight. One ball and no strike. Well, Davenport is playing in close to third. Jimmy's ready for the bunt in case Mickey bunts. Cepeda, Hiller, and Pagan are playing about halfway. They are not looking for the bunt. In fact, Cepeda is deeper than anybody else on the infield. Sanford checks his runners. Here's a 1-0 pitch. A swing and a foul. This one back into the crowd. One ball, one strike. The good thing about having a batter like Mantle at the plate, in a bunt situation, you don't have to worry too much about a double play ball, as Mickey has such tremendous speed. That doesn't mean he cannot hit into a double play, but the chances are against it. So instead of a bunt play, as in this situation, manager Ralph Houck can let Mickey swing away, figuring that he'll still move at least one runner up. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Outside. Ball two and strike one. Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, is still throwing in the bullpen, and Don Larson has replaced Stu Miller for the Giants. So it's Larson and O'Dell, a right-hander and a left-hander. Mickey Mantle right down on the end of the bat, waiting on Jack Sanford. There's two on with no one out here in the eighth inning. The Yankees lead the Giants by a score of 1-0. They've out-hit the Giants 6-2. Bobby Richardson is down at second base. Tommy Trey at first base. Sanford gets ready. Here's the 2-1 pitch. A swing and a miss. A low curveball around the knees, and Mantle had a ripple at it. A ball two and a strike two count. Roger Maris is waiting in the on-deck circle. Sanford taking a lot of time. Looks in to Tom Howler to get the sign. Looks back to second to check his runner. Here's the pitch. Down low, he got the curve in the dirt. Nice pickup by Howler, who went down on both knees to block it. So it's 3-2 to Mantle. Will the runners be moving on this 3-2 pitch? We'll wait and see. It paid off for Ralph Houck when he had Richardson running on a 3-2 pitch to Trey. Oh, we'll check him again. Sanford checking the sign. Shaking his head yes to Tom Howler. Here's the 3-2 pitch. There's a liner to right field. It's in there. Bobby Richardson coming to third, but he's going to be held up. Mickey Mantle lined the ball just out of the reach of the second baseman, Hiller. Now, Bobby Richardson had started back to second. He thought Hiller might catch the ball. So he was held up at third. So the bases are loaded with no one out, and here's Al Dart coming out. We might get a pitching change here. I believe we are. He is giving the call to the bullpen, and it's going to be Billy O'Dell. Applause here at Cardinal State Park in San Francisco, and Jack Sanford leaves the mound. And he has been a tremendous pitcher for the San Francisco Giants this year. Not only here in the World Series, but throughout the season. And they're giving him a standing applause as he leaves the mound. The Yankees have loaded the bases here in the eighth inning with no one out. An error and two singles have filled the sacks, and Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, will be coming on to pitch to Roger Maris. This will be O'Dell's third appearance in the World Series. He started the first ball game. He has a record of no wins and one defeat. He was charged with a loss in the first game. He's pitched 10 and one-third innings, giving up 12 hits. Six runs have all been earned. He's walked three and struck out eight. Billy pitched in relief in the fourth game of the series and saved that ball game. Don Larson was the winning pitcher. So Billy completes his warm-up tosses. Roger Maris steps in. The base is loaded with no one out. The Yankees leading 1-0. The hit by Mantle was number 7 off Stanford. Yankees have out-hit the Giants 7-2. Well, Al Darsh doesn't want to give up another run. He is playing his infield in close with the bases loaded and no one out. Maris is 0 for 3 in this game. Here's the first pitch. Nice. He's got a fastball on him. One strike for the Rod. He lined to third, bounced to third, and bounced to the first baseman. Richardson, Trash, and Mantle are the Yankee base runners. O'Dell ready. Here's the pitch. A ground ball hit to the second baseman. Hiller's coming to the plate with it. He's out. That's the first. He's safe on a close play. Almost a double play. Maris hit the ball at Chuck Hiller, who fired it into Howard. He stepped on the plate and fired it right back to Cepeda at first. Maris beats the relay. So Raj is safe on the fielder's short. The base is still loaded, one out, and Elston Howard will be the batter. Al Darsh has raced out of the dugout. He has a right-hander throwing in the bullpen, but there'll be no pitching change. He's going along with Billy O'Dell, a left-hander, against the right-handed hitting Elston Howard. Kelly's 0 for 3 in this game. Counts to third, pops to short, and struck out. O'Dell gets ready. Here's the pitch to Howard. Right, that's ball over the outside corner. The Giants trying to get out of a jam here in the eighth inning. The Yankees have the bases loaded with one out. O'Dell into the windup. Here's the pitch. High foul ball. This will be out of play, coming back into the lower deck. Strike two. Oh, Billy's coming on with the bases loaded and no one out. Got Roger Maris to bounce to the second baseman. Forced out at the plate. Now it's a strike two count to Elston Howard. O'Dell catching the sign. Here's the two-strike pitch. There's a ground ball at third. Might be a double play. Stepped on the bag to throw. He's out. Elston Howard bounces into a fast double play. Davenport stepped on the bag and threw the first base. On two hits, one error, two men left, and the score at the end of the first half of the eighth inning. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing.
This original 1962 World Series broadcast will continue on the NBC Radio Network.
Hi, Pat Summerall. You know, the trouble with buying paint is that you really don't know how it's going to look or last until after you've painted. That's why True Value Hardware stores make their own true test paints. Regardless of your needs and budget, your True Value Hardware Store dealer can help you choose the best possible paint in the colors you want at the price you can afford to pay. His knowledge also extends to knowing which applicators will give you the best results from quality True Test paints, available only at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Come on, 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 come on
NBC Radio Sports is presenting a classic World Series broadcast. Game 7 of 1962, featuring superstars Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris.
Odell coming on in relief with the bases loaded and no one out, turned in a sparkling job, got out of it without a run, so it's still a 1-0 ball game. The Yankees leading as we go into the bottom of the eighth inning. Tom Haller will be the leadoff man. He'll be followed by Jimmy Davenport, then Jose Pagan. Perry taking a little extra time as he goes through his warm-up tosses. Action in the Yankee bullpen. Bud Davey, a left-hander, and Bill Stafford, a right-hander. They have been throwing off and on throughout the ballgame. One to nothing. The Yankees lead. We're in the bottom of the eighth inning of the seventh game of the 1962 World Series. Tom Haller has popped his short and bounced to the pitcher in two trips. Perry's first pitch. There's a fly ball in the left center field. Price is racing in. There, and he makes the catch. Tom Haller goes out on the first pitch to stretch in left center. That's one away, and the batter will be Jimmy Davenport. Jimmy just made a fine play on a hard hit ground ball off the bat of Elston Howard. Kept on third base, flipped it to first, turning it into a fast double play. Has popped to second and flied to left in two trips today. Perry taking a little time. That's the sign. Here's the pitch. Ball. It's down low. One ball in his sight. The Yankees picked up a run in the fifth inning. That's been the only scoring in the game. It's a 1-0 pitch. High pop fly on the infield. Here's Boyer coming into foul ground, calling for it. And there makes the catch. Jimmy Davenport fouls to the third baseman. Well, there's two down. And Jose Pagan is scheduled to be the batter, but we're going to get a pinch batter. I believe it's Ed Bailey. We'll check it to be sure. Ed Bailey, left-handed hitting catcher, is coming on. Here's the announcement coming over to the public address. Al Dart trailing by one run here in the eighth inning, sending up a left-handed batter for his shortstop, Pagan. Giants batting with two outs and no one on. He's taking a little time before he gets in. Terry just waiting for Bailey to get set. That's the sign. Here's the first pitch. Curveball. He got it over. One strike. Ralph pulled the string on him. The Yankees are deep and around to the right for Bailey. That is strictly a pull hitter. He's out of the box for just a moment. Just back in. Bobby Richardson right on the edge of the outfield grass. Here's a one strike pitch. He checked his swing on a low curve to Stan Lambert. One ball, one strike. The Yankees have one run on seven hits and no errors. The Giants have no runs on two hits. They've committed one error. Perry still looking in. Pounds the ball in his glove. Here's a 1-1 pitch. A foul ball. It's back on the screen. Perry coming in with a fastball around the letters. One ball, two strikes. Perry retired the first 17 batters he faced here today before Sanford singled with two outs in the sixth inning. And he gave up a triple to McCovey with two outs in the seventh inning. And the only two Giant hits. One ball and two strikes to Bailey. Here's the pitch. Down low. That'll even the count at 2-2. Perry trying to get Bailey to go for a bad pitch. Ed Bailey batting for Jose Pagan here in the bottom of the eighth with two outs and no one on. Head getting out just as Terry got ready. Now we're ready again. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Foul ball. This one back in the crowd. Still 2-2. In the fifth inning, the Yankees used two singles and a walk to load the bases. Then Kubek bounced to the shortstop for Gunn, who made the double play. Cowan coming in to score the only run of this ball game. Yankees had the bases loaded in the eighth inning with no one out, but they failed to score. Here's the 2-2 pitch. There's a fly ball hit outside of first base. Cowan is coming over. He's got the room on it. Still chasing it. He makes the catch. Ed Bailey fouls to the first baseman. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left, and the score at the end of eight. The Yankees won, the Giants nothing.
We'll be back with more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this. And now, more action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
It's the ninth inning here at Candlestick Park, and the Yankees are leading by a score of 1-0. Boy, you couldn't ask for a finer ball game in the final game of the World Series. Bill Scourin will lead off for the Yankees. He'll be followed by Boyer and then Terry. Here's a fastball up high. One ball and a strike. Billy O'Dell pitching in relief of Jack Sanford, who turned in another great performance here today in his third World Series start. The pitch in the dirt, scooped up by Haller. A ball two and a no strike count. O'Dell came on in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and no one out. He got Maris on a ground ball to the second baseman. The play was made at the plate. And then Howard hit into a fast double play. Here's the 2-0 pitch to Scourin. He swings and fouls it off. From sailing back into the upper deck behind the Giant dugout. That's a ball two and a strike one count. Now, Billy O'Dell didn't like the baseball. He wants a new one. Tosses it in, and Stan Landon sends a new one out to the mound. Moose is waiting. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Down low. That's the fastball. Low and in. 3-1 to Scourin. Odell taking a little time as he looks into Howard. Here's the 3-1 pitch. He swings and hits a long fly ball down the left field line that's serving foul and going back into the crowd. So it's 3-2 to Scourin. Leadoff man for the Yankees in the ninth inning. They lead the Giants 1-0 here in the seventh game. Boy, this is it. Right down to the wire. The new shortstop for the Giants here in the ninth inning is Ernie Bowman. Pagan went out for the pinch batter, Ed Bailey. And Ernie Bowman has gone in to play shortstop. Odell taking a lot of time here on the 3-2 pitch. Ready? Here it is. A ground ball hit to the shortstop. Bowman has it. Here's the throw to first. He's out. Bill Scourin goes out. Starts to first. That's one away, and the batter will be Cletus Boyer. Cletus 2-for-3 in this game. He lined to right field in the third inning. Single in the fifth and again in the seventh. His single in the fifth inning was a key blow that sent Scourin all the way to third, where he scored on the double play ball. The ninth is one out with no one on. Yankees won, the Giants nothing. The pitch to Boyer hit hard to third. Davenport knocks it down. Here's the throw to first. He's out. Another good play by Jimmy Davenport as Boyer sent a screamer down the third baseline. Jimmy blocked it. Ball rolled out in front of him. He picked it up, made the throw to Cepeda. A two down, and here's Ralph Terry. Ralph Terry. full of highly partisan crowd here in Candlestick Park, giving a roaring salute to Ralph Terry as he comes on to bat here in the top of the ninth. Ralph has been a tremendous pitcher for the Yankees. He's had one hit in the ball game. Odell delivers, he fouls it back. One strike. Ralph has struck out, walked, and singled. So he's one for two. Right-handed batter. Facing the left-hander, Billy Odell. The pitch. He swings and misses on a curve. Strike two. Two outs with no one on. We're in the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees lead by one.
With more exciting action from the seventh game of the 1962 World Series after this. More action from Game 7 of the 1962 World Series.
Well, it's the bottom of the ninth inning, and this is it. The Giants are trailing the Yankees by a score of 1-0. Matty Alou has moved out of the dugout. He'll be batting for Billy Odell. Matty Alou, a left-handed batter, will be batting for Billy Odell, leading off for the Giants here in the bottom of the ninth inning. He'll be followed by his brother, Philippe Alou, and then the second baseman, Chuck Hiller. Ralph Perry completes his warm-up, Doctor. Howard goes down to second. And everybody moves forward on the edge of their seats for this bottom of the ninth inning, with the Yankees leading 1-0. Matty Alou, a little left-handed batter, leading off. There's action in both bullpens. Billy Pierce throwing in the bullpen for the Giants. Bill Stafford and Bud Daly for the Yankees. Perry taking a little time. He wants to be sure his defensive alignment is where he wants him to play Alou. Here's the pitch to Matty. Ball, it's outside. One ball and no strike. A 1-0 ball game right down to the wire here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Here's a 1-0 pitch. A high pop fly outside of first base. It may blow into the seats. Howard is chasing it. There's a dugout. He can't make a play. He went right into the Giant dugout. Nelson Howard, boy, was staying with it. He went right into the Giant dugout all the way. But he couldn't quite make the play, so it's one ball and one strike to Alou. That ball at one time was near the foul line, but the strong breeze blowing kept tearing it away from Howard and just out of his reach. Boyner at third base is playing it on the grass. Everybody else back on the infield. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Curve ball, it's too low. A ball two and a strike one count. Matty Alou, in a pinch hitting role in game number four, had a key double down the left field line. Boyer, of course, has to play him in close. He's one of the fastest base runners in this series. Here's the pitch.
He bounced on the first baseline. Terry chasing it. He can't get it. Single. That's hit number three for the Giants. But the tying run at first base with no one out. And the batter will be Filippolu. The Yankees are looking for the bunt. Boy, they're moving in close to third base. Here's a pitch. He bunts it up in the air. Howard chasing it. He can't get it. One strike to Filippolu. Giants, of course, trying to move this time run down to second base. They have Diller and Willie Mays coming up. The 1-0 ball game here in the ninth. The Yankees leading. Alou at first base. No one out. It's Matty Alou at first base. Philippe Alou, the batter, with a one strike count. There's a token toss over to first base. Terry just reminding the Lou that he's keeping an eye on him. Ralph gets set. Here's a pitch. He swings and fouls it back. A Lou had a ripple at a high fastball. He was trying to drill that one by Boyer at third base. Fouled it back on the screen. So Terry is out in front with a strike two count. Elston Howard calls time, races out to the mound for a conversation with Terry. Bill Stafford, a right-hander, and Bud Daly, a left-hander, throwing in the bullpen. Howard coming back behind the plate. Terry gets set. Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss, and struck him out. Philippe Alou goes down swinging. That's one away, and the batter will be Chuck Hiller. Hiller is 0 for 3. He bounced to first, flies to center, and he pops to the pitcher, trying to beat out a bunt in the seventh inning. Well, the Giants have one of their fastest base runners, if not their fastest, at first base. He's carrying the tying run. One out here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Boy, you can almost feel the tension all the way here to the radio booth. A pitch to Hiller. He swings and pops it up. It's going to be out of play. This one is drifting back into the crowd. One strike to Chuck. Ralph Perry all the way for the Yankees. Jack Sanford, the starting pitcher for the Giants today. Billy O'Dell relieves him in the eighth inning. It's a one-strike count to Chuck Hiller. Matty Alou at first base. One out, bottom of the ninth inning. Matty's taking a big lead at first. Terry checks him. Here's the pitch. He bunts down the third baseline. It's foul. Boy, there was a dandy. Hiller pushed the bunt down the third baseline. It just rolled outside the line. Boy, you had no chance to get him. Plate was playing in close, but this was a perfect bunt. So it's a strike two count to Hiller. Once again, Howard, out to the mound for a conference with Terry. Everything riding here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Howard coming back behind the plate. Terry checks his runner at first. The pitch, foul ball, back in the crowd. Ralph trying to get the fastball by him around the letters. Hiller fouled it back. Well, Billy Pierce is throwing in the bullpen for the Giants. If they tie it up or go ahead, more than likely he'll be the pitcher. Terry gets that. Here's the pitch. There's another foul ball coming back to the crowd. A strike two count to Chuck Hiller.
The amazing thing about these pitches to Hiller with two strikes on him, Terry has come right in there with good fastballs. He is not trying to make Hiller go for a bad pitch. He tried to overpower him with two good fastballs, figuring that Chuck had to be expecting most anything in this spot. Ralph taking the look in. That's the runner at first base. Here's the pitch. Foul ball. This went off to the left, rolling to the Yankee dugout. You know, the most helpless people in the ballpark in a situation like this are the ball players sitting in the dugout. There's nothing they can do, nothing at all, but just wait and hope. Those on the field or with a bat in their hand, they have a chance. They can do something. Chuck Hiller choking the bat, waiting. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. Nice pickup by Howard. That was a big play. Giants would like to move Alou down to second base. It's a ball one, strike two count to Chuck Hiller. Matty Alou opened this inning with a bunt single down the first baseline. Matty was batting for Billy O'Dell. Philippe Alou, after bunting and missing a pitch, swung at the next two and struck out. Now Chuck Hiller, the batter, one ball, two strikes. Terry delivers. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Hiller goes down swinging on a low curveball. So there's two down, and it's all up to Willie Mays. And I would imagine if the Giants fans had their way in the ball club, this is the man they'd want to play. A runner at first base, two out, and Willie Mays, the batter. He has been the big man for this ball club, not only this year, but for 12 long years. So it'll be Terry against Mays. And that is matching strength against strength here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Willie has flied to left, flied to center, and Lyon deep to left. Thrash made a great play on him in the seventh inning to rob him of an extra base hit. Willie right down on the end of the bat. The pitch. Ball. It's inside. That's ball. 1-0 to Willie Mays. Matty Alou at first base for two outs. Boy, everybody has moved forward on the edge of their seat. Here's the pitch. That ball inside. Almost hit him with this one. A ball two and a no strike count. Terry coming in with two good fastballs, trying to get Willie on the fifth. Got him in a little bit too close. The Yankees deep, around to the left, and very deep in the outfield. Boyer deep and near the line at third base. A pitch to Willie Mays. He swings and lines it down the right of the line. That's what he's in there. Willie's on his way to second. The runner's going to be held at third base. Lined one into the corner in right field. Matty Alou was held up at the last moment. It looked like he was going to make a try for it. Bobby Richardson took the relay from Roger Maris and rifled a throw into Elston Howard. One hop, he would have had him at the plate. And Whitey Lockman very wisely held him up. So the Giants have runners at second and third with two outs. Willie McCovey, the batter, and here's Ralph Hout coming out to the mound. And Joe Garagiola at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And this place is a madhouse right now. The Yankees lead 1-0, the bottom of the ninth. The Giants have runners at second and third with two outs, and Willie McCovey is the batter. Willie's had one hit. That was a long triple. Here's the pitch. He swings and sends a long ball to right field. Harris is chasing it. He's curving foul. It's going in the field. Willie McCovey making a bid, slammed one deep in the right. The ball did not have a distance to get out of the ballpark. Maris going over near the line, but it curved back into the crowd. So it's one strike to Willie. And boy, everything is riding on every pitch here in the bottom of the ninth. McCovey fouled to the catcher, flied to left, and tripled into deep center field. There
Good call, left-handed batter, right down on the end of the bat. Ralph Perry gets that. Here's the pitch to Willie. There's a liner straight to Richardson. The ball game is over and the World Series is over. Willie McCovey hit it like a bullet. A line drive right straight to Bobby Richardson at second base. Had that ball got out of his reach, the Giants would have been the winner. Now it's the Yankees who have mobbed Ralph Perry in the center of the diamond, and well, they should. What a pitcher Ralph Perry was here today. He picked a four-hit shutout going right down to the bottom of the ninth. A line drive off the bat of Willie McCovey going straight into the glove of Bobby Richardson at second base. So in the bottom of the ninth, it's no run on two hits for the Giants. There were no errors, two men left. The final score of the ball game, the Yankees win it 1-0. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. Our engineer here today has been Don Hall. Our NBC producer has been Hal Ashby. And now to wind up this 1962 World Series broadcast, let's go down and pick up Joe Garagiola and some of those victorious Yankees. Joe is down in the Yankee clubhouse right now. Joe, take over. Hey, we're in the Yankee clubhouse here. Ralph Perry, finally got him. There, you got him?
Yeah.
Ralph Perry of the New York Yankees here right now.
Joe, if you don't mind, I'd like to say this to Ralph. 2 years ago, a guy named Bill Mazeroski hit a home run in the last half of the ninth inning to win a World Series. And here now is Ralph Perry, who came back 2 years later to win the seventh game, and the skipper, Ralph House. Ralph, you waited 2 years for that one.
I'd like to say two things, Mel. I think I'm probably the luckiest man in the country today. The guy hit the ball so hard, right at him. And I thank God for a second chance.
He really did his job, I tell you, Mel, and you really got to give these fellas a lot of credit. It was quite a series.
What?
This is the greatest thrill in the world right here.
You were that bullpen, my friend.
Wonderful, Joe. It's a good place for me.
Greatest thrill in the world, Joe. Damn it. Really great.
You going to be resting for a while now?
All right.
What? You were ready to come back, huh?
Well, Ralph asked me if I wanted to throw, if they needed me later, but they had, we had a left-handed down here in Stafford ready.
This wasn't an easy one for you, huh?
No, I wish we could end it yesterday, but I'm glad the way it turned out.
May I have Joe Garagiola just a word with a guy who has been in the middle of a lot of these things, sometimes on the winning side, sometimes on the other side. That's Joe, good night, Joe. A native of San Francisco, making his home back there now.
Joe, well, I want to tell you, Mel, it was a wonderful World Series, and I thought this, it wound up just the way I thought it would, just the last out. The Giants are a wonderful ball club, and just for that one line drive made the difference of winning and losing. And I will say this is a typical Yankee team. As far as this particular club, why, as long as the chips are down, it seems like they pick them up.
The 1962 World Series ended with the Yankees winning their 20th World Championship. How about that? And I'll be back with some closing words in just a moment. Here again is Mel Allen. Stan, you know, it was a Yankee tradition to come through with a win when the ships were down. And that's kind of what they did back in 1962.
And it was a vindication for Ralph Perry.
Yes, that was because, as you and I have said before, Ralph Perry 2 years before was the GOAT.
And he came back to be the hero. I've always wanted to know from somebody, Mel, and can I ask you, I always wondered why Ralph Houck didn't have Willie McCovey purposely passed in that ninth inning to pitch to Orlando Cepeda, who wasn't particularly having a good series.
That's a good question, Stan. When you take a batter like Willie McCovey, he's always dangerous. He's a guy that can beat you. But as long as your pitcher is going pretty good and you hope that he'd keep the ball away from that man's power, you've got a better chance of striking out a McCovey
And then you have the Cepeda. Cepeda also had power, but he could put the ball in play more frequently than McCovey. And less of a chance of striking out Cepeda. But fundamentally, here was the reason. Alou was on third and Mays was on second. There were two outs. Now, if you walk McCovey, now you're leading by only one run. That means you've got to get the ball over to plate somewhere to the next hitter. And in the process of trying to perhaps keep the ball a little fine or not making too good a pitch, you might walk that next batter and then force in the tying run, which then would put the Giants in a position to perhaps win it in that ninth inning. So he decided just, according to the Yankee skipper, just decided to go ahead and take his chances with McCovey.
And to prove that baseball is a game of inches, McCovey almost won it.
I never seen the ball hit any harder. If he'd have gotten up under that ball, it would have wound up not only over the right field fence, but it would have wound up on some ship sailing by out in the bay and might have wound up in the Orient somewhere. But I talked to Bobby Richardson afterwards, and he said, that ball came at me like a bullet. And he said, I was just scared to death it was going to bounce off my glove and hit me in the face and put me in a hospital. But he said, fortunately, it came right at me, and I sort of gave with it. It had been an inch or so either way, pure basis. And two runs would have scored on it.
And the Giants would have won the World Series.
Absolutely. But that's the World Series. That's baseball. And you do take chances in a given situation. Sometimes the percentage will work for you. Sometimes it won't. You know, Bobby Richardson tells me that sometimes he wakes up in the middle of the night with a nightmare. He dropped the ball. Please try it, fans, and be with us next week as NBC Radio keeps baseball on the air with World Series Classic. We really can't say if there's going to be a settlement in the baseball strike. I wish we knew something more about it. I certainly wish they would settle it. But as long as the strike does continue, NBC Radio will continue bringing you World Series Classic. Stan, what's on tap for next week?
Next week, classic World Series from 1964, 65, and 68, Mel. We'll be listening to games featuring the St. Louis Cardinals, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Minnesota Twins, the Detroit Tigers.
And the New York Yankees, Stan, don't forget that.
I wouldn't do that, Mel.
As a matter of fact, for such a long while, it'd be pretty tough doing any World Series in which the Yankees wouldn't have been at least half of the Fall Classic. I remember, for example, 1949 through 1964, the Yankees were in the World Series 14 times during out of 16 years. This program is authorized under rights granted by Major League Baseball and is presented by permission of the Office of the Commissioner of Baseball. The recordings used on today's rebroadcast come from the archives of the Museum of Broadcasting and the Library of Congress. Our special thanks to Jerry Gibson and Ron Simon at the Library and Museum and to Kathleen Lim at NBC Records Administration. Our historical advisors are Milt Richman of UPI and the gentleman sitting next to me today, Stan Martin of NBC Radio Sports. This presentation of World Series Classic was engineered by Sherry Wagner and Steve Offit, directed by Wendy Maxwell and Cassandra Pitter, and produced by Guy Ludwig. This is Mel Allen, along with Stan Martin, inviting you to join us next week for more World Series Classic. This has been a presentation of NBC Radio Sports.